welcome to this month's edition of Our Working Waterfront. This is Chris Bricker, and each month I join my co-hosts, Port of Port Townsend's director, Aaron Berg, and Port Commissioner Pam Petronic, for an update on news, issues, stories, and local color surrounding our vibrant maritime community. As is our custom, let's check in with Aaron about current happenings in and around the boatyard and the port in general, and then we'll talk with our special guests. All right, Aaron, well, what's happening around the port this month?
Well, you know, I always enjoy looking around the foundry, so this will be a good show today. A couple quick updates. We're very excited about some of our efforts with regard to sharing kind of marine science with the community. At Boat Haven, we've got a sculpture coming in the next week or so that's about an 8-foot-tall crab zoe. So it'll be right by the boat launch. You can see what your Dungeness crab looked like before it crawled into the pot. Then downtown at Union Wharf, the installation of Gunther, the 42-foot-long gray whale, is almost complete with Port Townsend Marine Science Center. And it's amazing how many people we see walking Union Wharf now. And then at the other end, all the way at Point Hudson, we've been working again with the Port Townsend Marine Science Center, with the Washington Scuba Alliance, and a whole team of volunteer divers. They've moved almost 2,000 creatures from the South Breakwater to the habitat feature that we built last season. And we're working on getting an underwater camera installed, so you'll be able to see the life teeming down there in the future. So those are all very exciting. A couple other updates to think about. September 28th, which is the last Thursday of next month, we have the first boatyard barbecue celebrating our working waterfront right at the boatyard. There's going to be a salmon barbecue, a fish fry, various vendors. I think we've got 4 bands lined up. So 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock, come to the boatyard, celebrate the working waterfront and the return of the fleet. Project-wise, Point Hudson just cranking along, continuing to move creatures. And our water walk sea level rise project's really picking up steam as we think about how to protect, you know, particularly the boatyard and flats district, but really how do we protect Port Townsend for coming generations? So that's probably enough for now. Lots going on, as always.
Holy smokes, Aaron, thank you. There's a lot of exciting things going on, and as always, I appreciate your updates.
We appreciate sharing them. Always look forward to our working waterfront.
Each year, the Chamber of Jefferson County presents leadership awards in 5 categories: business leader, citizen, rising entrepreneur, young professional, and future business leader from our county's youth. Pete and Kathy Langley have been married and in business together for over 40 years, and together they share a life of commitment that a rising tide lifts all boats. Pete and Kathy Langley are the 2023 Business Leader of the Year recipients, and we're sitting in the front office of Port Townsend Foundry to share in a conversation about their roles as leaders in our community.
Pete and Kathy have carved out a symbiotic relationship with history through a deep understanding of how their business fits into our community and the world.
Pete, speaking of history, can you give us a little history of the foundry? How you ended up sitting here, right here in this office?
Well, it started out when I first came to Port Townsend, looking at some of the architectural history and the fact that some of the buildings downtown had PT Foundry and Machine Company cast onto their columns, and identifying that, that sent me off on the quest to find out who that was and what they were all about. And after several years of their knowledge of what they were doing, I eventually restarted the foundry again, which the original foundry started in 1883. And we started over again almost 100 years later. So it's been quite interesting to garner that history and the quality of work they were doing back then and continue that legacy.
What did the foundry make back in those days?
Well, in 1889, to give an example, they built 2 passenger steam liners, 2 tugs, all of the engines, everything that were built mechanically for those 2 ships, and most of the castings on all the Victorian buildings downtown in the same year. They employed about 250 people a day, and it was all done at what is now Pope Marine Park, which had the boatyard and the foundry all right there on the beach in front of City Hall.
Well, the two of you, give us some examples of some of the things you're working on lately, or have been working on.
We did lettering for the Space Needle. That was several years ago. But it changes quite rapidly what we're working on, and it's all over the place.
So one of the recent projects that just got shipped to us is a porthole from the USS Battleship Texas coming out of Houston. But the porthole showed up last week. And ironically, our Historical Society Facebook post showed up on Friday with a picture of the Battleship Texas anchored in Port Townsend Bay in 1919. So the types of projects will vary. Like Kathy says, currently right now, I've got three architectural projects going on. That one will include repairing the Redmond School bell from the Redmond Historical Society to a house in Denver that's getting pulleys and blocks and mechanisms for lifting up a cover that covers the big screen television outdoors, all with granite boulders as counterbalance weights and all of the crazy things. And another architect in North Carolina that's doing hand wheels on doors for their clients. So we're casting all of the bronze hand wheels to go on the doors as architectural things. So the marine hardware is part of it, but the architectural and structural things that we get into will vary across the board.
Kathy, what's the variety of folks that come through here to learn about your business?
Wide variety. Some of them are seeking knowledge, some of them are seeking information, and some of them are just curious, with absolutely no ties at all to the boating industry or anything else. So we've had grade schoolers, we've had preschoolers, middle and high school, as well as architectural groups that are students of architecture. All sorts of dignitaries come through.
As well as car clubs, the yacht clubs, various different groups. American Sailing Club, they're basically a New York Yacht Club affiliate, but come with two tour buses full of people for tours. So it's been pretty diverse, and it's one of the key things, I think, is to get your community to really understand what you need to do, or what you do is to invite them in and let them see firsthand what you can do and perform for.
Holy smokes. I was just trying to imagine a tour bus parked out here. Well, Pete, you deal with a lot of materials here at the Foundry and big into environmental consciousness. Give us some examples of what that means and how it happens.
Well, I think it started out probably by being raised on the boats and seeing what's happening to our oceans, our beaches, whether it's being contaminated with plastic or flotsam of other different particulate. That started to get me interested in not only how materials are recycled and doing that. So the majority of all the product that we manufacture in our copper-based alloys or aluminum-based alloys are all recycled from above ground doing that. But we also work in pre-preg carbon fiber, and we've worked on different processes with a feasibility study done with the port for a pyrolysis system that would convert plastic back to oil to create energy for the foundry here directly. And a lot of that is based on the marine waste that we could get, including even some of the materials generated at the port, the blue tarps that are thrown away, and all of that that can be eventually used to create energy and a biochar byproduct that comes out of it that's good for farmers, and everything else is for fertilizer. So there's a lot of little niches out there right now that are all involved in that environmental thing, as well as some of the folks that might see our cleat benches out on the streets. Those are made from the recycled sand that we would normally have to throw away into the landfill, so we convert it into concrete product, and it then benefits everybody.
Kathy, the Foundry has an impact on the community from that commitment to train and inspire and mentor youth. How does that work in practical terms?
Well, we've had some really great employees over the years. We've had some not so great employees at times too. But most all of them come to us without any knowledge of the Foundry business. And it's just a training process. And we've started with some 14-year-olds that wanted to learn the process. And we've started with 68-year-olds that have wanted to learn the process. So it's a very wide spectrum of folks that come to us that are interested in the job.
The seniors that come through here and want to work, what people really wanted to do before they got involved in what they did do, right? For those of our listeners just tuning in, we're speaking with Pete and Kathy Langley of Port Townsend Foundry, the 2023 recipients of the Jefferson Chamber's Business Leader of the Year Award. Well, by the nature of your business, Pete, you have a breadth of historical and technical knowledge, and an example would be your vast library of patterns. And would you like to flesh that out a little bit?
Sure. The patterns are basically tooling that allows the foundry to generate an individual product. So there are masters for every item that we sell, and those masters are kept, and any foundry that has them keeps their masters safe, and then they make production tooling off those masters so that as product demand increases, they can increase the amount of parts that are made, their cost, and all of that is associated with those pieces of tooling. But the masters that we have, I have been collecting for over 40 years, so we have, I would estimate now there's close to 70,000 Tinker Toys.
How many?
70,000 pieces. And there's a lot of parts and pieces.
Do you know where they all are?
Well, a major portion is above us, upstairs in the first pattern library, which we call is pretty much our West Coast history. And then the second collection, which probably is closer to 35,000 pieces, is from the East Coast that we've collected. And again, some of those patterns I can date back to beyond 1900.
That's amazing. And I think you and I had talked before about you don't really have any kind of a Dewey Decimal System in your library. How does that work?
I think it's Alzheimer's therapy, is if you keep your mind active and you have to remember where you put it last and you train everybody to put it back where you left it, then hopefully it's still there. But I would like that librarian to come to work that we could put the Dutch doors in and somebody would have to check each piece out and go back. That would be a fantastic employee to have.
Kathy, do you help Pete out on that?
I do. When I became regularly active at the foundry, I was at the sorter. So it used to be they were just all on shelves, and back then we were maybe 1,000 patterns. So I was the sorter that would say, okay, these parts all go together and they get their own box. But yes, so yes, I do help as far as the patterns.
Kathy, you have deep and wide family roots here, and I know you graduated from Port Townsend High School. You've been involved in the fire district, EMS, Port Townsend Marine Trades Association, the fair. How did you end up here?
So my parents moved here in 1958. My mother went to school up in Clown County, where her parents were pioneers. Dad actually came from Oklahoma and came out during the Depression and lived in Seattle, and they met up in college. And when Dad got hired with the Young Men's Correction Facility that was at Fort Worden, that's when they moved to town. And then he got hired by the school system as a teacher, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Throughout the years, you've been involved with the community. You did this while running a business, raising 3 children, plus community involvement.
Shortly after we had our second, Pete and I joined the Fire District 6, which was Cape George and Calla Point, basically Beckett Point. And we were volunteers there for many years. When our fire chief retired, the next chief asked me to be his assistant chief. And so I was one of the first females in a chief role in Jefferson County. And it was interesting because back then the kids went with us on calls, which would not be acceptable in this day and age. Then
it was kind of like ride-alongs, huh?
Yeah, kind of. And then we joined Port Townsend Fire Department and worked through there. I was also chair of the EMS Council for East Jefferson County, and then I also partook in the Chiefs Association.
I have to go on just to because she's done a lot with other families and kids that don't get recognized. But if you go back and look at the roadie parade back in that time period, she was always out front with all the kids or grandkids or cousins, nephews, all of that. And the worst nightmare was they'd always win first place in the kiddies parade and then have to do the big parade. So they had to do the parade twice.
I wish our listeners could see sort of the glances that these two are exchanging with one another right now about all of those wonderful things that each of them are proud of the other of having done. But brings me to mind when you're talking about working with youth, not only here at the Foundry, but also mentoring, plenty of opportunities, yeah?
Yes, I coached volleyball at Blue Heron for 10 years, I believe it was. That was quite fun. I did one season with minor league girls baseball, which was a fun coaching experience, but it was difficult dealing with some of the parents.
That always seems to be the case, doesn't it?
So, Pete, what is the value of promoting small business in our county? You work full-time, but you're involved in many relationships that promote small businesses. Can you give us an example of the value of promoting and some of the organizations that you are involved with?
Obviously, starting out very small, just myself and a few tools starting out, it becomes a very entrepreneurial way of expressing your own interests and your own desires. And for me, most of it is, I call it stick-to-itiveness. If you're able to stick to something long enough, you can actually become a professional at it, whether it's a musician or any other technical skill, computers, all that. So that's really, I think, the first key is to get across that small business has to be able to see beyond that first 3 to 5 years if you're going to be successful, because there is so much and a very steep learning curve, which is one of the reasons why I've been involved with either the EDC or the Marine Trades or any of the rest, is to help them try to understand that some of those hurdles may not be as big as one might think, but they are certainly there in front of you, or they pop up from time to time, whether it's working with bureaucracy, government, all of those kind of things. Then eventually that comes down to how we kind of marketed. We knew initially when we started there wasn't enough marine trades market here to survive. So we had to then start marketing outside of Jefferson County, outside of Washington State. And so that led to marketing internationally and the other, which then brings new money to town. That new money to town then makes it available for us to be able to hire these young kids and not have it disrupted. It's becoming a newer circular economy we can help create here, where we bring in the money, we share it with the kids and the youth to be able to afford to live here, hopefully increase wages and help do that. That's a conversation that happens quite a bit now, and with the housing thing going on and the turmoil that we have there. And we got to decide at some point, and I've used this expression a lot, how many guppies can live in this fishbowl? We are a little peninsula at the end of the road, and to overmarket ourselves for the sheer fact of generating revenue or real estate sales tax versus having a real tax base that is sustainable and consistent would allow our city planners and the others to know what they have to work with. But what it's been for the last 25 years has been a roller coaster. And I think somebody else explained it pretty well the other day at one of our meetings, that train wreck is bound to happen, or we're heading at full speed towards a cliff with no real plan to put the brakes on. And we got to decide how that happens. And I think small business and or manufacturing for one has the multiplier of 3 to 1. So every one of our employees generates 3 other jobs in the community. And those are the best things. They're stable. They can be consistent. We're busy all year round. We're not seasonal. That allows then again, even for us to take on some other seasonal workers that come back from fishing, or the service worker that has the tourist industry drop off in the middle of winter, they can come and still get work and be done. So I think it's real important to have those conversations on a pretty broad range of topics as well as organizations. So to get back to that, I've been on the board of the Economic Development Council for Team Jefferson. Also currently I'm finishing my second year as president of the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association, Jefferson County Historical Society Board, and trying to get them to understand they can help build that circular economy. It's not just buying stuff from elsewhere to satisfy the thing. It's how can you incorporate the community into those different organizations.
We have a last question for both of you. What would you say is the most important thing about working together and being partners in marriage and business all these years? What should we not forget about relationships as we lead our busy lives?
I would say communication, which we don't always do really well, but that would, I believe, is the biggest sustainer of a healthy relationship is communication.
Yeah, and one, try not to kill each other. And so I get up every morning and apologize for what I will do. And if you're able to say you're sorry, that makes things a lot better than just admitting, you know. It's a two-way street, and you got to be able to accept each other's differences and move forward every day.
Well, I see more than just verbal communication. I think there's some really loving and understanding glances that happen between the two of you, and it's wonderful to sit here and witness that. Pete and Kathy Langley, Port Townsend Foundry. Thank you so much for sitting down and having a conversation with us today on our working waterfront.
Thank you.
Thank you.